We are in a series on the book of Galatians. If you're visiting with us this morning, we're getting about halfway through or so. And I'm really excited about it. I just think there is so much in this book that is good and gets right at the heart of what God died to give us, what was so important. And so that's been my hope and my prayer today is that we'll connect with that, that we'll rejoice in what God has given us, because that is the point. So today we are going to finish up chapter 3 and do a little bit of chapter 4. Not a lot of verses here, because we're going to go other places. I'm doing what you're never supposed to do. We're going to do some large chunks of scripture. But the Bible tells us not to neglect the public reading of Scripture. So that's going to be my permission to do this. Grab your Bibles, House Bibles. It's on page 1032. If you have a phone or something else you want to use, that's fine too. But let's read through this section together when you're there. And I ask God to open it up to us. Okay, it says, "For those of you who were baptized into Christ have been clothed with Christ. There is no Jew or Greek, slave or free, male and female, since you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. Now, I say that as long as the heir is a child, he differs in no way from a slave, though he is the owner of everything. Instead, he is under guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were in slavery under the elements of the world. When the time came to completion, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father.' So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then God has made you an heir." Okay, there's some really wonderful stuff here that we're going to go back now and kind of break apart a little bit at a time here. First thing he says is this. He says, "For those of you who were baptized into Christ have been clothed with Christ." So we've been baptized into, we've been clothed with. So what is he talking about here? Now, if you're familiar at all with Christianity, you know that we're, as Christians, we're supposed to be baptized. That after we accept Jesus, what we today call accept Jesus, when we believe in him, we're supposed to be dipped in water, which is kind of odd. Right? Strange. And that's what the word baptized means. It means dipped into. So we're supposed to be dipped in water. So is that what he's talking about here? Well, yes and no. What the Bible tells us is being dipped in water is a physical picture for the world. It's a declaration to the world of what has already happened to us when we believe. And that's what Paul's talking about here. It's being baptized into Christ. It's being clothed with Christ. And it's a picture of the wonderful thing that happens to us when we do that. 2 Corinthians, Paul said this, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, and see, the new has come." That when you believe, and in the context of Galatians, what we're learning is what it means to have faith and trust in Jesus is to no longer depend on yourself to meet some standard like the Jewish law or even a law we make for ourselves. We forsake that. We say, you know what? I can't do it. And we turn and we put our faith in Jesus and what happened at the cross. We trust in that. We have faith in that. That at that point, the Bible says we are born again, that we become a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. And Paul is saying, at that point, you are baptized into Jesus. Or as John the Baptist said, he said, I didn't know him. He's speaking about Jesus. But he said, but he who sent me to baptize with water told me, the one you see the Spirit descending and resting on, he is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. So this baptism into Jesus, being baptized by the Holy Spirit, being clothed with Christ, these are all talking about this same wonderful transformation that happens. And this being dipped in water, it's a pretty good picture. It gives us some insight, I think, into what happens. You know, today we've sort of separated this from becoming a Christian. People often become a Christian and then don't get baptized, maybe at all, or maybe not for a long time. But back then it was sort of synonymous. It was the act of believing. It was declaring, this is what I believe. And, you know, it's like when you go, I'm a diver when my lungs are good, and you go under the water, you're in a different world. You've been immersed in this other world. And being baptized is a picture of that. The air's gone. You're completely enveloped in and covered with Christ. You go in dry, you come out wet. You're clean. There's a number of things that this is a good picture of. Helps us understand. But it also falls short. Because it's just physical. It's just skin deep. Going into the water doesn't transform you. Being covered with water doesn't make you different. And so there is a section of Scripture, I think, where Paul expands this thought and helps us understand what it means to be baptized into Jesus or clothed with Christ. So turn to Romans chapter 6 on page 1001 in your Bible. And I think here is where he gives us a little more reasoned and expanded look at what he is talking about. Because this is the key to living the life that God wants us to be able to live. This being baptized into Jesus, being baptized by the Holy Spirit. This is the key. And this is what he tells us in Romans chapter 6. He says, what shall we say then? Should we continue in sin? Now, his argument up to this point is that the law expanded the amount of transgressions so that when Jesus forgave them all, God got more glory. And so he said, well, then maybe we should just keep sinning. Should we continue in sin so that grace may multiply? Absolutely not. How can we who died to sin still live in it? And here he goes. He goes, or are you unaware that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus, the same term, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too may walk in newness of life. So the key to us being able to live and act as God would desire is not trying to attain to a standard that we're giving. It's this being connected with Jesus in his death by being baptized into him through our faith. And Paul says this is the essential thing that allows us to live the way God would desire. And we're baptized into his death. We're somehow connected in with his death. Now, here, this is a weird picture that I have for myself. Imagine Jesus rising from the dead and going down and visiting a brothel. I mean, we just know that's not going to happen. And it's the same way. We've been baptized into his death, and it's going on to say that we're going to now participate in his resurrected life. The same way we've been connected with him, somehow spiritually, in some real way, we are now connected with newness of life. It says, for if we've been united with him in the likeness of his death, we will certainly also be in the likeness of his resurrection. So we have been united with Jesus' resurrected life. For we know that our old self was crucified with him. That's what it said in 2 Corinthians 5. The old has gone. So that the body ruled by sin might be rendered powerless. So Our body, as we talked about a couple weeks ago, if you were here, has not yet been redeemed. Our flesh is still here, still desires to do things that are contrary to God and our new self. But the way that that body is going to be controlled and able to do the right thing is through this amazing thing that happened to us, through this being united with Christ in his death and in his resurrection. So we may no longer be enslaved to sin, since a person who has died is freed from sin. When you go to a funeral, you can be sure the dead guy is not going to cause any trouble. Right? He's not going to cause trouble. He's dead. And this is what God is trying to help us understand. Look, something has taken place in you. You have been transformed. You can now live in freedom because of the reality of what took place. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. Because we know that Christ, having been raised from the dead, will not die again. Death no longer rules over him. For the death he died to sin once for all time. But the life he lives to God. So you too consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Now, I think there's a really important thing here. This word consider. I think we can read that and think it means pretend. We can think, oh, pretend that you don't, you know, that you're this new thing. You know, have this idea that you carry around in your head that you're new, but you kind of know you're really not. That's not what it's saying. This says, it's more like come to grips with the fact. Wrestle until you understand the reality and the fact that you actually have been set free. Now, you might think, what is he talking about? It's a little mysterious. But if we think that the Son of God coming, becoming a man and dying is not going to produce a few mysterious things, then I think we aren't really considering what that really means. And I mentioned this a couple weeks ago. This book, Classic Christianity, if you want to really delve into and I think wrestling with this until we understand the reality of this, that God's not just giving us ideas, but there is real things that happened that actually set us free. This book can help you understand it. And there's some of them back on the table for $10. Just grab one. If you want to put $10 in the offering box, put one in. But this book is very, very helpful. And so I would encourage you to, if you haven't ever wrestled through this, really haven't gotten to the point where you can really believe that, then I think this book can help you. And I'd recommend very few books, so other than the Bible. But this is a good book. Very helpful. So, this is, I think, what Paul wants us to grasp in Galatians, where he says, you've been baptized into Christ. I think he taught all this thoroughly when he was with them, and now he's just reminding. And in Romans, we get the complete teaching of what he helped them understand. And this is what they're walking away from. They're walking away from this amazing, marvelous thing and having faith in what God has done in them. And they're trying to go back to just obeying a standard. And Paul's going, do not do that. And that's his argument here. So, have you been, and this is what baptism is a picture of physically. So, the question is this, have you been baptized? Have you been dipped in water since you were a Christian, since you placed your faith in Christ? If not, we've got one person that's talked to me about wanting to be baptized. So, you know, we don't have a building with a baptismal, so we have to find a place, which we can do. But if you haven't been and you want to obey God in that and be baptized, then send an email to info@discoverlivinghope.com or call me, talk to me, and we'll quick soon get a thing set up to do some baptism. So take advantage of that. Okay, now back to Galatians. Paul said this, because of this, see this amazing transformation that has taken place in you makes you a new person. It gives you a new identity. And this identity that it gives us is so amazing and so wonderful that it just swamps any other identity that we might carry around about ourselves. I don't know what your self-image is. We talk a lot about self-image in this culture. And we talk a lot about, you know, I don't know if I have a good self-image. Well, if you get a hold of this, you won't have a problem with your self-image. If you understand what has actually taken place in you and who God has created you to be, you aren't going to struggle with your self-image anymore. And that's what he's saying. Look, these Jews are coming into you guys in Galatia and they're saying, oh yeah, it's fine to be a Christian, but you really need to be a Jewish Christian. That's basically what they were saying. They're saying you got to get circumcised, you got to obey the law, you got to become a Jew because what you are now is not good enough. And that's just preposterous. That's ludicrous. What could be better than being dead and recreated as the Son of God? I mean, who cares whether you're a Jew, you're a Greek, you're a man, you're a woman? Who cares? The identity of what God has accomplished in our life is so wonderful that the rest of that stuff all just fades into the background. And he said this in Colossians. He rephrased it. He said this, in Christ there is not Greek and Jew, circumcision and uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free, but Christ is all and in all. You know, and I like this. It's this amazing thing that Christ is in us. Now, I hope you grapple with that, because that is such a mind-blowing thought that if it's real, it should transform our thinking. It should change our thinking. You know, we looked at this back and when we did the Gospel of John. This is Jesus' prayer the night he was crucified. He says, he's praying to his Father and he says, I have given them the glory you have given me so that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you are in me so that they may be made completely one, that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. And I mean, this is staggering what God has done. God is in Jesus, and he's in us. This is phenomenal. So I don't know what little picture you carry around about yourself in your mind, but you need to replace it with this. If you won't, I mean, you get it replaced with this, and you are going to get up every morning amazed at life. This is real. This has happened. Christ lives in us. Could we not? I mean, I just think we need to just stop right now and thank God. This is amazing. And we just walk through life like we're normal people. We're not. We are sons of God. Oh, God, we just thank you. God, help us figure out what this means. This is unbelievable. Lord, it's really hard to grapple with this. It's really hard to accept and believe what is true about us. I've died. I've been resurrected. I'm part of your death. I have received your resurrected life. Christ, you live in me. God, you have been so, so good to us. Oh, and if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, this is what you're missing. You're not considering, wow, do I want to pick up this new way where I can't do all these things that I want to do? No, you're considering whether or not you want to be transformed and become a son of the living God. This is what Christianity offers. This is why it is so radically different than any other religion. Oh, it's just, it's phenomenal. Yeah, okay, back to Galatians. Paul says this, he says, now, I say that as long as the heir is a child, he differs in no way from a slave. And that's true. You know, you can be the billionaire's kid, but when you're just a little kid, well, you're just under babysitters. They just take care of you, tell you what to do, do this, don't do that. And though he's the owner of everything, instead, he is under guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were in slavery under the elements of the world. Now, I think he's going back to talk about Israel because, you know, this is his argument. These people that are coming saying you need to become Jews, they don't understand some things. And he's going back to, well, why then did God give the law? And Israel was promised to be an heir. Had all the promises through Moses. They were going to inherit all this stuff. And he goes, but we were in this time period where they too were they couldn't live yet in the way that we are able to live, connected to God through the Spirit. They weren't there yet. They were given the law as a guardian until God's purpose came to fruition. They too were imprisoned by sin under the law. It's like being a child when people tell you what to do. Now, there's an interesting phrase in here. It says they were in slavery under the elements of the world. It's a phrase that Paul uses throughout his writings. And it sort of means different things a little bit. But, you know, in the New Testament, there is this concept of the world, if you're not aware of it. And the world represents what is not of God. So the opposite maybe would be spiritual. You have the world and you have spirit, the spirit, things of the spirit. You know, sometimes the world is looked at as the kingdom of Satan. It's in competition with the kingdom of heaven. It's a set of principles and powers that are different than the spiritual principles of God. So I think one of the things that's important for us as believers to understand is we can either approach things in the worldly way, in the biblical thinking, or spiritually. We can live as we always have. You know, you've got to learn to get along in the world, son. And, you know, it's kind of all that entails is like the world has a system. You've got to learn how to use it to your advantage, to get ahead. You have to how to operate in it. But you need to see it as a believer a little bit as the enemy of the spiritual things. And before Christ, that's all there was to live by, was the elements of the world. And Paul uses this when he talks about pagan religions, that they were somehow part of the elements of this world. And in a sense, the law was even like that because it was on this same basis of me working hard to do something. It wasn't yet spiritual. But now, Jew and Gentile alike have the opportunity to live differently. And again, this is what we're learning to do as Christians is to walk in this different way, to walk by faith, not by the elements of this world. And that's what our whole life really ought to be about, is learning how to live this new way. And just pull this verse back up from a couple weeks ago. Because if you live according to the flesh, which would tie into the living by the elementary principles of this world, you are going to die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. And I think this is the central idea. There's a new way for us to interact with God. And it's through the Holy Spirit. It's through us submitting to the Holy Spirit and allowing the Holy Spirit to do work in our life. And we got to learn to walk through life that way in all that we do. And, you know, there's this other idea contained in there. It says, when the time came to completion, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And it's this whole idea that God was working a plan. Since the fall, God has been, when Adam and Eve sinned and the world fell into sin, God has been working this plan. And for whatever reason that God knows, it was when Christ came. Christ came, it says, at the right time, when the world was in the right place, Christ came to redeem those under the law. And God worked with mankind in different ways at different times. You know, we don't really know much about what happened before the flood. And then from the flood to Abraham and Abraham to the law, there's just different times where God was working with mankind in different ways. But now that Christ has come, we are finally able to live in the way that God desired. And Paul talks about how he says this was a mystery. People didn't understand it until the revelation was given to Paul and the other apostles. He said, the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have briefly written above. By reading this, you are going to be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. This was not made known to people in other generations, as it is now revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. The Gentiles are co-heirs, members of the same body and partners in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. So these people that are coming to Galatia and saying, look, you guys need to become Jews, they don't understand the mystery. They don't understand that was the thinking, perhaps. That's what it looked like God was revealing to Israel. But now that Christ has come, the full truth has been revealed, and that's no longer the case. And that's good for us, I think, as 21st century people, to realize that history is not just developing randomly, that God is guiding, and we know from the New Testament, he is guiding it to a completion. There is a completion along this, and the world is rushing toward the day when Jesus Christ is going to return. And he's going to come back, and he's going to set up his kingdom. And just like this was promised and for thousands of years looked like nothing was going on, and then one day, boom, God fulfilled his promise, that's exactly what's going to happen in the end. Whether we think it looks like it's going to happen or not, one day God is going to bring everything to a completion just like he said. And I think, you know, we as believers, we can take a lot of confidence and comfort in that. Okay, so then the last thing he tells them is this. And because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Now, Abba was a term of endearment for a child toward his parent, to his father. So you know, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then God has made you an heir. Now we are an heir, an adult child that has come into his inheritance. And because of that, we've received this blessing of the Holy Spirit. God's Holy Spirit indwells us now in a way that was never happened before Christ. It's an amazing gift. You know, and it's okay. We talked about being indwelled with Christ, that Christ lives in us. I hope that a lot of your energy in life is being directed toward figuring out how to walk with the Spirit, how to have this amazing gift that God has given you be set free in your life. I hope. I just think if we don't, if we spend our life, well, you know, trying to get a new car, or, you know, whatever our energy is going toward, and you stand in front of Jesus and he goes, well, what'd you do with my Holy Spirit? We don't want to say, what? Or, you know, I didn't really think about it all that much. I just think that would, you aren't going to want to say that on that day. You are going to want to please him. You are going to want to say, yeah, you know, maybe I did or didn't figure it out, but I was trying, God. I was struggling. I was asking you. I wanted to know why you gave me the Spirit. I wanted to know how to walk filled with the Spirit. I wanted to know how to set the power of your Spirit free in my life. Otherwise, it's just a huge, it's kind of an insult to him, I think. So I got one more section I want to try to go through. Because I think Paul hits this same idea. So to another church in Colossae, now he had never been there. He hadn't taught him these things. So we get, I think, again, a little more detailed look at these same thoughts in Colossians. And so I just want to finish by reading this. And I know it's long, but gosh, you think these guys got this whole letter sent to them and they just had to sit and listen to it. We can probably hear a chunk of it. And I'll comment some, but not tons. Starting in verse 6. It says, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him." Now, I think this is key. I think this is a summary. Now, I don't know about you, but the night I believed in Jesus, it was unlike any other night of my life. I knew that I was guilty before him. I knew I needed him. I knew that he had the right to save or reject. And I threw myself on his mercy. I was completely, at that moment, dependent on him. And I think that's what he's saying here. I think he's saying, just like that, just like you received him, walk in him. Live your life like that. Being rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, and overflowing with gratitude. Be careful that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit based on human tradition, based on the elements of the world rather than Christ. And boy, do we really need to be careful. There's a lot of philosophies out there. We hear them all day long. The Christian bookstore, in my opinion, is filled with them. You got to live your life based on Christ and walking with him. And this book, be careful. For the entire fullness of God's nature, dwells bodily in Christ. And you have been filled by him. Amazing. Who is the head over every ruler and authority. You were also circumcised in him with a circumcision not done with hands, by putting off the body of flesh in the circumcision of Christ. So you don't need to become a Jew. You've already been circumcised. You were circumcised when you were clothed with Christ, when you were baptized into him, when you were buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And when you were dead in trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive with him. And he forgave us all our trespasses. He erased the certificate of debt with its obligations that was against us and opposed to us, and he has taken it away by nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and the authorities, and he disgraced them publicly, and he triumphed over them in him. Hallelujah. Therefore, don't let anyone judge you in regard to food and drink, or in the matter of a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day. See, they were going back. People wanted them to go back to celebrating all these spiritual holiday things. And that's going to come up in Galatians in a little bit here. These are just a shadow of what was to come. The substance is Christ. All the festivals of the Jews was just a shadow of what was coming. The reality is here. Let no one condemn you by delighting in ascetic practices and the worship of angels, claiming access to visionary realm. Such people are inflated by empty notions of their unspiritual mind. He doesn't hold on to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and held together by its ligaments and tendons, grows with growth from God. if you died with Christ to the elements of this world, why do you live as if you still belong to the world? Why do you submit to its regulations like don't handle, don't taste, don't touch? All these regulations refer to what is destined to perish by being used up. They are human commands and doctrines. Although they have a reputation for wisdom by promoting self-made religion, false humility, and severe treatment of the body, they are not of any value in curbing self-indulgence. You aren't going to be set free that way. So, if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ appears, who is your life appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. This, if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things above where Christ is. What are you seeking? What do you want? Do you want to know Christ? Then you've got to learn how to walk in this world, setting your mind on the things above. You've got to grapple with God over the reality of what he has accomplished in your life. You've got to connect to that truth and that power, and you've got to learn to walk in the Holy Spirit, allowing the Spirit to put to death the misdeeds of your body. Then you'll be free. Then life will begin to unfold. And you will know Christ. As Paul said in that, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of sharing in his suffering, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection of the dead. He's talking about now. We can walk now in newness of life, but not in the old way, not in the under the elements of this world, not under don't handle, don't touch, don't taste, don't touch. We've got to learn to walk in the Spirit. That's where freedom comes from. Let's do that. Let's be a group of people who are striving to help one another, who each of us is striving to know what that means now and helping one another learn to do that. Then Jesus' prayer, I and them and you and me, that they may be completely one, will come true. And we will glorify God. And he will be pleased. Which, what could be better than Jesus looking down and going, oh, yeah, I like that. It says the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth. I want him to look at this little church and go, yeah, yeah, they're doing it. They get it. They're understanding. They're enjoying what I died to give them. Let's do that. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you so much, Father. Thank you. Oh, God, I just look back through my life and I see how good you've been to me. You forgave me all my sins. But you didn't stop there. You didn't just save me and leave me alone. You didn't just leave me like I was. You transformed me. You made me a new person. And that new person is going to live with you forever. We are going to go and we are going to be with Jesus forever. Boy, God, help us start now. Help us start now to walk with you, to understand that you're in us, that we've been clothed with you. We've been baptized into you. We have been given your Spirit. Wow, God, these are things, Lord, that are so amazing. I want to understand them, Father. I want to enjoy them. I want to appreciate them. I want to honor you by acting like they're as important as they are. and not just something that might happen to us later. Lord, you said the old has gone, the new has come. We now possess all this. God, help us walk with you in it. Help us discover the truth of what you accomplished. And we just ask you that in Jesus' name. Amen.